Well, good morning once again, and it is a pleasure to be with you this morning. We've looked forward to this for some time. Nancy and I had a wonderful time on our vacation, on our trip. We spent a lot of time eating alone. We found tables that would sit two, and we just enjoyed that. And then we did other things in the meals too. But I asked you to thank the Lord for those who filled in for me, those who filled the gap in my absence. And things got changed around just a little bit, but people filled in, and we're just thankful for that. And I'd ask you to remember our daughter Jennifer and her two sons down there in Florida, if you would. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Numbers this morning. The book of Numbers. I have in my pocket something that is pretty valuable to me. It's a old Leopold compass. And it has four cardinal directions on it: north, east, south, and west. I'd like to deal in our message this morning with the four cardinal directions: north, east, south, and west. And it may not be in that exact order, but here in the book of Numbers, chapter 2, we have the Lord sharing with Moses to share with the children of Israel an orderly setup of the camp of Israel. It was to be an orderly setup, and there were specific places for everyone. Now, if you would excuse me for just one second, I have a handout. Hello, Mike. I don't often use a handout in my message, but I thought this morning it would be a practical thing to show an artist's conception of the division of the children of Israel there in the wilderness as God depicted it from the scriptures, as God shared it from the scriptures. In this picture, you'll notice the 12 tribes of Israel are scattered in appointed places, and in the center are the Levites and Moses. And in the very center of that is the tabernacle. There are four different verses found in this second chapter of Numbers. If you turn there with me, Numbers chapter 2, and I want to read just four verses of scripture. You can fill in the rest, but if you notice in the picture that I've shared with you, this artist's conception, there are going to be three tribes in each of the cardinal directions. Three tribes of each of the cardinal directions, and it shares with us here in the book of Numbers, chapter 2, verse 3. Numbers chapter 2 and verse 3, it says, "And on the east side, toward the rising of the sun, shall they of the standard of the camp of Judah pitch throughout their armies, and Nashan, the son of Abinadab, shall be captain of the children of Judah." And if you drop down through there, you'll also find that there was Issachar and Zebulun that was to be in the same direction as Judah was. If you'll turn with me to verse 10 of this second chapter, you'll notice in this verse of scripture, "On the south side shall be the standard of the camp of Reuben." And if you'll notice also on that illustration that there was Simeon and Gad. That's what the scriptures have to declare about that. And then in verse 18 of the second chapter of the book of Numbers, "On the west side shall be the standard of the camp of Ephraim, and along with Ephraim was Manasseh and Benjamin." In verse 25 of that book, of chapter 2 of the book of Numbers, it says, "The standard of the camp of Dan shall be on the north side by their armies." And if you follow that through, you'll find that Asher and Naphtali was also with Dan on the south side. So all the cardinal directions are taken care of by God, as he illustrated and instituted how the children of Israel would be situated around. Now, this is going to save a lot of time. Can you imagine what it would have been like if God said, okay, straighten up things and you just move, some of you move over here and some of you move over here and some of you move over here and some of you move over there. Henry Ford did a great favor to everybody. He only created black cars. That's a favor to us because we don't have the necessity of a choice. Choices make us, have you ever gone to a restaurant and there's 9 pages to the menu? You just never get through it all. And that's what Nancy and I found out a number of times on our trip. You just couldn't sample it all because there's too many choices. Well, God, by this strict detailed instructions, it took all the confusion out of setting up the camp. He said, these tribes will be here, these tribes will be here, these tribes will be here, and these tribes will be here. And that's the way God instructed them. Nancy and I would have loved to have this kind of instruction when we had that emergency landing and they told us we're going to have to go get new tickets and then didn't tell us where to go, who to see, how to get there, or anything else. They left it to us. Well, there was a lot of confusion about that. And by the time we got up to the front to get our tickets, nothing was left to get out on that day. We had to wait another day. I'd have given anything to have someone on that plane say, we've got it taken care of. We've already made the call. They're working on your tickets right now. But that didn't happen. Can you imagine the confusion? Now, we find in the scripture that God is not the God of confusion. He is not the God that illustrates confusion in anything, and particularly in the gospel. The gospel is not a gospel of confusion. It is straightforward. Christ is the issue. You have Christ, you have it all. If you don't have Christ, you don't have anything. There cannot be anything more simple than that. We stepped into cathedral after cathedral after cathedral after cathedral after cathedral. There was all kinds of trips for us to go see these cathedrals. I admired greatly the architecture and the ability of people to get up 300 feet and lay stones. I could never get up that high and do that kind of work. I admired it. But when they tell me that in those cathedrals, the message was preached that you have to be in this group or you don't have any hope. But when it comes time to die, you don't have any hope either unless you pay enough money to help us get out of your place. And then we don't know whether we can make it or not. The security in that is zero. So the gospel is so much greater than all the religions of the world. This camp that was here, we also see the strict details and instructions that God is a God of order and that God has all the directions of the compass covered. Nothing is out of his sight. He has everything under his control, whatever it looks like. Now, when it came time to set up all of these camps, it may have looked like mayhem. It may have looked like confusion, but it was an orderly setup because everybody in that camp knew exactly where they were going to go. These three tribes are going to be over here. These three tribes are going to be over there. These three tribes are going to be down there, and these three tribes are going to be over there. Go set up the camp. Now, there was no discussion where the tabernacle would be, and there was no discussion about where the Levites would be. They would be in the center of that camp. When the Lord commanded a tabernacle to be built, he also shares with us the four cardinal directions. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Exodus for just a moment. Exodus chapter 26. Now, the tabernacle was built upon a pattern given to Moses in the mount. Now, Moses didn't see a pattern in the mount of a physical building. When God showed him the pattern in the mount, he was sharing with him the Lord Jesus Christ in all of the capacities that he would fulfill while he was on the earth. And here is a picture of it. The tabernacle, the coverings, the sacrifices, the altars, the candlestick, and the mercy seat were all pictures and types and shadows of the Lord Jesus Christ. But when it was built out there in the wilderness and placed in the center of these 12 tribes, the Lord was sharing with us that even in that, he is a God of order. In the book of Exodus, chapter 26, and there in verse 18 it says, and thou shalt, let me get to the right chapter, chapter 26 and verse 18, it says, thou shalt make the boards of the tabernacle 20 boards on the south side southward. All right, we got the south located. And there's going to be 20 boards in there, and we can find exactly the size of those boards as it's declared here in the scripture. Now, we may not be able to replicate that, and that's a good thing. If we were able to replicate it, you know what people would do? They'd worship the boards instead of Christ. They'd worship the tabernacle instead of Christ. It has been proven time and time again. Nancy and I went into a cathedral there, and here in the middle of a very important place is a probably a $10 million gold and jeweled cross. And it had a little hinge on it. Guess what was inside of there, according to them? A sliver of the cross. What difference does that make? It's the person of the cross that makes a difference. It is the Christ of the cross that makes the difference. It's not having some relic. It is to have Christ. So here we find in this passage of scripture in the book of Exodus in chapter 26 and verse 20 that covers the other side. The second side of the tabernacle on the north shall be of 20 boards. Here's the side. Here's how big it's going to be. And then if you look with me in chapter 26 and verse 20, there's going to be six boards on the west side. On the east side was the entrance, and it had no boards but curtains. A place of entrance was going to be on the east side. Now, that's going to be important because many other scriptures point to things about the east side, and we'll not have time to cover them all this morning, but we find out that there was no entrance on the west side. There was no entrance on the north side. There was no entrance on the south side. There was only one way to enter into this place. Now, I can't help but think that the Lord had a little bit of this in mind when he shares with us over in the book of John chapter 1 that unless you go through the door, everyone else that tries to go in another way. Have you ever seen pictures at a circus tent where little boys and girls are trying to crawl in there and look at inside to see what's going on without paying the price? You know, we think that's kind of funny. Well, here, these boards are so situated that nobody's going to look under, nobody's going to look through, and nobody's going to look over. They are hidden because God wants us to know that there is only one way to approach the mercy seat, and that is through the door. And the door is on the east side. So we have Judah there looking towards the door, and we have Moses and the Levites there looking towards the door. And in fact, the entire nation of Israel has one entrance into that tabernacle, and that is through the door on the east side, and they cannot go in by themselves. It tells us in Scripture that if anybody tries to approach it that are not supposed to, they are to be slain on the spot. There is no room for this. There is no way for this. So we have the entrance here. Jesus saith, he that climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. And I don't know, but nature tells me that there are probably other people that says, you know, that's probably just not quite right. We should have it another way. We have Korah demonstrating that. We have Miriam demonstrating that. We have other people demonstrating that God doesn't have the right to make this kind of choice. Well, the camp of Israel was always set up the same, each tribe in their place with the tabernacle in the center. This camp was Christocentric. If it was a wheel, he is the hub in the middle. In this camp, all that is declared there about that tabernacle shares with us that Christ is the center of the church. He is the center of all the children of Israel. He was the center physically there in that day, and for the church since the time of beginning. the Christ has been the center. He has been the middle. He has been the important. He has the preeminence in every direction. There is nowhere else for those in the south, the west, the east, or the north to look but towards the center where the tabernacle was. The camp was Christocentric. The center of the church is Christ. He is the true high priest. He is the true lamb. He is the true tabernacle. He's the true altar. He's the true sacrifice. He is the truth personified. Our Lord Jesus Christ did nothing in the atonement by picture. Think about this. All of those pictures in the Old Testament, they're pictures of Christ. But Jesus Christ never did anything in the atonement for a picture's sake. He is the reality of it all. He is not the acting a part. He is Him in the atonement. He is the hymn of the Word. He is the hymn of time. He is the hymn of the sinner. He is the H-I-M. Turn with me, if you would, for just a moment over to the book of Hebrews, because it is brought out here so clearly in the book of Hebrews chapter 9, verse 23. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 23, a short reading here that summates what the tabernacle was all about. Summates what the law was all about. Summates the Old Testament, what it was all about in all the types, the shadows and the pictures, even the cardinal directions, north, east, south, and west. Here in the book of Hebrews chapter 9, verse 23, we have the Holy Spirit giving a writer, an apostle, these words to write for us to enjoy today. I'm so thankful that we can carry the word in our hands. We walked by a place at Wycliffe, Gutenberg. People who were used of God, whether they knew anything or not, they were used of God to develop the means that more people could have the Bible. Gutenberg developed a printing press, and the printing press changed the way that people could have the Bible. It could be printed, and it could be much cheaper. We're so thankful. I can go down to places today, and they'll give me a Bible. I'm thankful that in this Bible, we can find out what things are about, and it's about Jesus Christ the righteous. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 23. Let's read here for just a moment, verse 23. It is therefore necessary that the patterns of things in heaven should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands. Now a picture of him going in was, we have a high priest going in with blood once a year. We'll talk about that in just a moment, which are the figures of the true, but in heaven itself, who to appear in the presence of God for us. When that high priest went into the Holy of Holies with blood, he was appearing on the behalf of people. People, general people, you and I could not go in there. There was only one person that could enter in, and everyone else was left out from entering in. We needed a representative. Those people needed a representative. Those people on the north needed a representative. Those people on the south needed a representative. Those people on the east, they needed a representative. And those people on the west, they needed a representative. And God provided that representative in the high priest. And everyone, every place that the people are scattered that belong to Almighty God, they are scattered there on purpose, but they need a representative, and the representative is the Lord Jesus Christ. He has purpose to represent them before the throne room of God and by his own blood offered before the Father. Goes on to tell us here, verse 25, nor yet that he should offer himself often as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with blood of others. You know, it is recorded in the scriptures that Aaron did this at least 39 times. Whether he did it that 40th year, I don't know. But he did it year after year after year. And he is the only one that did it year after year after year until he was taken up on a mount. His life was taken from him by Almighty God. And his son was given the right and privilege of doing that. That was the way it had to be because those people could not endure forever. They were human beings like you and I are. But our heavenly high priest endureth forever, as it says here, endureth into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once, in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. What Aaron could not do in 40 trips, what his son could not do in another 40 trips, and what his grandson could not do in another 40 trips, was in taken care of by the Lord Jesus Christ in one time as he entered into heaven with his own blood, and he purchased his church and sanctified his church and made his church presentable before the Father by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after that the judgment, so Christ has once suffered, once offered to bear the sins of many, and took them. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. As we look at the order of the camp, it is truly instructs us that the gospel will be preached in all the directions of the globe. Here we have, you know, I don't think, maybe they did, maybe those out, well, maybe Gad said, why are we out here? We should have been in there where Reuben is. I don't know whether that happened or not. But I know this, that the gospel will be preached in every cardinal direction of the compass if there are lost sheep there. I know this too, that one of the great preachers of the Bible, Paul the Apostle, was hindered from going in one direction. He was so drawn to go into that direction, but it tells us the Holy Spirit hindered him. And then he decided he'd go in another direction, and the Holy Spirit hindered him. And then he got a dream. God appeared to him in a dream, and there was a man from Macedonia. He says, come over here. Come to Europe. And that's where Paul went. He took the gospel. And everyone here is a direct descendant of that preaching the gospel. We are the recipients of that great thing. Now, it doesn't mean that the gospel didn't go down in the south by an Ethiopian eunuch. It doesn't mean that those three wise men did not return. They knew something. I shouldn't even say three wise men. I was up to hear about three wise men because the Bible doesn't tell us how many there are. But those wise men from the east, the only way we can really understand it is Daniel preached the gospel and somebody in the east heard him preach the gospel, and they went and saw the Christ child just after his birth and returned another way and went back to the east. So we know the gospel was in the east. We know it was taken to the north. It was taken to the west. It's been taken all over the world. The gospel of God's good grace has been preached the globe over. And the gospel always points in one direction. Just as those tribes were assembled around the tabernacle, every one of them looked to the center of things, just like the gospel always points people to Christ. I love what John did in John chapter 1 when he had two disciples, and he, by the grace of God, knew who this man was. Now, he in the flesh, he was his cousin. But in the Spirit, he's his Savior. John, with his two disciples, says, behold the Lamb of God. And what happened to those disciples? They went and joined themselves to Jesus. The gospel is the true tabernacle preached. And it is him, Jesus Christ. Nothing preached in the gospel would substitute for a look to the center. Religion would have us look in many directions. Most of the time, it's into our belly button. But the gospel never asks us to look anywhere but to the center of the camp where the Lord Jesus Christ is. He crossed the distance of the holy place as the high priest entered in the east side, through the door of the east side, into the tabernacle, and he's heading west. You know, we just see the darkness of things when Jesus went to the cross, because this high priest entering the east and traveling to the west is going to where the darkness is. This is where sin is. This is where sin must be taken care of. It must be taken care of by the Lord Jesus Christ in such a capacity that it would be taken care of and time and forever. But this high priest entered into the east. He went into a curtain. Now all the rest of the tribes are gathered around north, east, south, and west. I think I mentioned that one person felt like there's probably 15 square miles of people here just to have the capacity to fill up for these tribes. Doesn't matter how big it is. You know, there's a big controversy right now whether the world is flat or not. I'm not going to go there. The issue is not whether it's flat, triangular, hexagonal, or anything. The issue is Christ is the answer. Christ is the gospel. That's the thing. All right? It was through the curtains on the east side of the tabernacle that the high priest entered into the holy place on his way to the mercy seat. Once a year, he crossed the distance of the holy place, not without blood of an innocent, towards the veil of the Holy of Holies. He carried the blood through the veil and entered into the Holy of Holies. Now, there was no candlesticks in there, as there was in the holy place. There was light in there, and that was the Shekinah glory of God. Traveling from east to west, he carried the blood to the mercy seat on the Day of the Atonement. With a successful trip taken, he carried the empty vessel east through the veil, through the curtains, out into public view once again. Now turn with me, if you would, to the book of Malachi. The book of Malachi chapter 4. Malachi chapter 4. As this high priest came out, what is it? The description that is shared with us about where Judah would be set up is the east towards the rising of the sun. The camp would be east towards the rising of the sun. In the book of Malachi, Malachi chapter 4, Malachi chapter 4, and there in verse 2. As that priest, high priest, came out from the curtains, he went through the veil. The blood's been applied on the mercy seat. He comes out with an empty vessel. All the blood has been applied. In picture, he's taking care of all those guys that are on the outside. Now, we know, just like us, there was some real ragamuffins in there. Sinners, sinners. He came out, he parted the veil, he parted the curtains that were on the east side and stepped out. What was he looking at? I have some pictures of sunrise over Prague yesterday. Nancy could see the clouds glistening, starting to get bright as we're there in the airport. So I said, I'm going to take some pictures of the last day in Prague, the sunrise. What was this high priest looking at when he came out of that Holy of Holies into the holy place and stepped out in among the people? Tells us right here, but unto you that fear my name, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. Going to be well fed, in other words. Going to have all the requirements, in other words. So, they that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness. Who is this? Now, I may not have been facing east or north or west or south. I don't know what direction it was. Because you know the mystery of the new birth? God just works a work of grace and you don't care where you are, what direction you are. You don't have to be towards some direction. It's just God working a work of grace. But that work of grace will take everyone in every direction and point them to one person. To the center to Christ. He is in the center. He is always in the center. It doesn't matter what religion says about him. He's always in the center of his church. Healing in his wings. Notice with me a passage in the book of Luke again. Would you? Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13. As we think about the cardinal directions. All those directions. God has had his gospel preached wherever there have been lost sheep. And we notice here in the book of Luke chapter 13, these cardinal directions are mentioned here, just as they are with all those 12 tribes. Three here, three here, three here, three here. Just as we look at the tabernacle, we got these boards on this side, these boards on this side, these boards on the end, curtains on the other end. Holy of holy place, holy of holies. Priest brings in that blood once a year, sprinkles it on the mercy seat. The blood of an innocent comes out and looks in the direction of the sun, just like he brings us out and lets us look at the Son of Righteousness. He that hath eyes, look. He that hath ears, hear. The Son of Righteousness. And here in the book of Luke chapter 13, and there in verse 22, the scriptures tell us this. And he went through the cities and villages teaching and journeying towards Jerusalem. That's where he's going. That's where he's going to end up, is in Jerusalem. And then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? You know, I didn't ever notice that verse of scripture till I was reading for this message. Are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, we seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house has risen up and hath shut the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. And they shall begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence. Thou hast taught us in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. And there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. And they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. It tells us in the end, Matthew chapter 24. Just back up one book there, if you would. Matthew chapter 24. As we think about that setting up of that camp, the Lord is dealing with the cardinal directions. And here in the book of Matthew chapter 24 and verse 37. But as the days... Verse 31, excuse me. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. All of his people will be gathered together and placed in their place. And the center will always be Christ. There is one passage that certainly shares with me one of the blessings of one of two of the cardinal directions. So if you would, turn with me to the book of Psalms. The book of the Psalms. This passage has the most glorious statement about the cardinal directions. It tells us something about our sin. Now, God only saves sinners. Christ only saves sinners. God only loved people in Christ Jesus who are sinners. We heard this morning about names written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. You know, a lot of people would like to think that God so loved people that it wasn't really necessary for him to send his son. And when his son came, he made it possible for a bunch of people to be saved. But he didn't save them. Well, God loving his people and having his people's names written down in the Lamb's Book of Life required his son to come. There was no way in all of creation, all of time, all of eternity that they could come into the kingdom of heaven without their sins being taken care of. They were not able to approach God. There's only one way to be able to approach God, and that is through the blood of a sacrifice, the blood of Christ. We cannot approach God without Christ. And here in the book of Psalm 103, we have these glorious words written about God's people, that God has taken care of the problem. The picture of it was taken care of by Aaron as he came out with an empty bowl of blood, an empty vessel of blood. He used all that blood to sprinkle it on the mercy seat. That was in picture. But Christ presented his blood before the Father. You know what he actually presented before him? His life. He gave his life a ransom. He gave his life a ransom for many. He gave his life. He gave his life and soul a ransom for many. Depicted by blood, you lose all your blood, you're dead. What he wants us to know is that Jesus Christ was required to lay down his life, to give his life a ransom. Well, what does that procure for us? Is it a possibility of being saved? Is it only the possibility of a created word by religion to, we're going to go to purgatory or someplace just like it, and we're going to have to wait to find out whether we're actually been saved or not? That's not any hope whatsoever, but the gospel gives his people all the hope. Here in the book of Psalms 103 and verse 11, the scriptures share with us, "For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him." Now notice this verse, "As far as the east," as far as the east is from the west. As far as the east is from the west, so far. Now that's a great distance. It's an immeasurable distance. We're so thankful he said these words. Now this is just one place out of hundreds of places that tells us about the successfulness of God in Christ Jesus on the cross, to put away sin, to make us acceptable before him. "So far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us." I cannot comprehend that yet. Someday I will be able to comprehend it in its totality. But today, it's just wonderful to be able to have the knowledge that Jesus Christ has taken care of our sins, of our iniquities, of all our transgressions, and they're so far apart from us and God. As far as the east is from the west, four cardinal directions. Judah, get over there on the east. And these other tribes are going to be out from you. Next tribe, you're over there on the north. Next tribe, you're over there on the south. Next tribe, you're over there on the east. And I'll make this very plain, he shares with us. I'll make sure that every one of you hear the gospel. The gospel will go out. And I will gather all mine from the four winds. And those in the north and the east and the south and the west shall sit down in my kingdom with me. And I will do that only by taking your iniquities as far as the east is from the west. And so he allows all his people to see the Sun of Righteousness rising. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed. He doesn't have to do it yearly. One of those places we visited, there were places all along the walls on both sides that you can have special services if you have the money to help you get out of a place. How sad. The world is filled with that religion. I grew up in the same kind of religion. I'm so thankful that God would be pleased to send the gospel by a preacher who knew something to preach the gospel, and God would use it to save a wretched sinner by his grace. And now we have the privilege of looking to him who loved us and gave himself for us, the Son of Righteousness, rising with healing in his wings. For the mic.